Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have a returning guest, did a great job helping us understand a lot about individual health insurance as well as Medicare, and invited him back. His name is Nate Papura, and he is a Medicare consumer specialist, and that is in and of itself, I'm sure, a challenge every day. Nate, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks so much for having me back. Yeah, it's somebody once called me a Medicare expert, and I said, you know, I just play one on the radio. Anybody who calls himself an expert in Medicare is lying because it's so complex, it's almost impossible to master it. So,
well, you're an expert knowing how complicated it is. How about that?
Right, for sure.
Well, I know that we hit a lot the last time you were on the program, and if anybody's interested, go back and listen to a previous program. It's on our website, davidholland.com, then go to the radio section. But you and I talked about narrowing our conversations to a couple of key subjects, and the one that you and I agreed would be a good one for us to cover, and people can go to your website, planprescriber.com, and also ehealthinsurance.com, to look at some of these additional resources you have available on those websites. They're both very good websites. Before we get into the subject, why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about what each of those websites have. First, planprescriber.com. What will they find there?
Sure. So PlanPrescriber is, the company is eHealth, and so we're a technology company. We basically have these online marketplaces like a Travelocity or an eBay. We're really the largest we're a publicly traded company, but we're the largest company to do this all online, where you can shop and compare for all the different types of Medicare plans, or if you're under 65, small business plans or individually purchased plans. You can do all that online, so we let you do some side-by-side comparisons and put in your drugs and do an apples-to-apples. You can enroll in some plans online, not everything on the Medicare side, because you have to be appointed by the insurance company. So all the plans are there. We take publicly available data from the government, and it all has to get approved by the government before we can put it up. So you're going to see, you know, everything that's there. And in some plans, you can enroll in online if we've been appointed by the insurance company to enroll people. Okay. And we have folks on the phone who you can call and talk to a licensed agent, and they can help you enroll too. So, you know, we try to have a very transparent marketplace with some really simple tools. I think last time you and I talked about Medicare.gov, which is a fantastic resource. Everything under the sun is there.
But it's a lot.
But if you're not a Medicare expert, yeah, it can be really overwhelming. So we've tried to simplify it for the everyday person to try and look at some core benefits that they're going to need and try and make an informed decision.
Yeah, because you got Medicare Advantage, you got Medicare Part D prescription drug plans, you got the supplemental products. There's a lot of stuff. So planprescriber.com and ehealthinsurance.com. Now, what you and I talked about getting into today was really the Affordable Care Act and the impact of Obamacare on the future of Medicare. And I know that's also a broad subject, but why don't we start there? What can you share with our listeners to really help them understand what this is all about?
Yeah, I mean, I think the key message here, you know, I know this is a retiree show or early retiree show, and so I assume most of your listeners are like my parents, who are probably more conservative. My parents are very conservative, you know, and very upset about the election and really don't like the Affordable Care Act. And when I talk to my dad about it, I try to just leave this message with him that it is the law, it is happening. And if you don't dig into it, try and figure out what's in it and try and embrace some of the good things in it, because there are some very good things in it, even if you're the most diehard conservative, there's some things you really have to like. But the point is, you can't just wring your hands and run around and throw the baby out with the bathwater. Try and find the good stuff and then try and change the things that are bad. And I think that's where people have to get to on this issue. So that would just be sort of my overarching message for anybody who's sort of falling into that that hand-wringing and the sky is falling sort of mentality with Medicare and the Affordable Care Act.
Okay, so what are some of the things, I guess, that are most notable? Well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and let's get into some of the details, Nate. Nate Papura is our guest. He is a Medicare consumer specialist, plan prescriber, and eHealth company, planprescriber.com and ehealthinsurance.com. We'll come back. We'll talk about more about the specifics of the Affordable Care Act. And I think what your point is, Nate, is some of the things that people can do about it, not just say, oh, the sky's falling, some specific things people can do to really make the most of this legislation, because it's law now. So stay right there. We'll be right back.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, Babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
We're back. Okay, Nate, so we're returning here from our break. Let's talk about some of the specifics with the Affordable Care Act. What are some of the things that we should take from this and do about it?
So, yeah, I think there are three things that, in regards to Medicare, the Affordable Care Act does that people should really focus on and understand so you know how to benefit from. And the three big things to me are it tries to measure quality more effectively. That's the first big one. The second one is tries to pay for quality outcomes instead of paying for every service provided. And the third thing it does is it tries to really empower the consumer. So those are the three themes that I think we probably should drill down on is
okay.
How it tries to measure quality, how it tries to pay for quality, and then how you as a consumer can sort of benefit from that.
All right. Well, the first one is how they're trying to do a better measurement of the quality of care.
Yeah. There's a couple examples there I can give you. The first one, a really big one, is star ratings for Medicare Advantage plans. This is a totally new system that they implemented a couple years ago. It's a comprehensive measurement of quality for Medicare Advantage plans. They look at everything from readmission rates. So you get admitted to the hospital for a heart attack, and you leave a couple days later, how quickly do you get readmitted? Are they doing an effective job of managing that so you don't have to go back into the hospital? Everything from that to things like customer service, how are the people on the phone, that kind of thing. So it's a comprehensive measurement. All the scores are posted. So that's a quality measure that you can use to look at and dig into and try and figure out if you're on Medicare Advantage, which a lot of people are, about like 30 million, about half the people on a private Medicare supplement or private Medicare alternative or in Medicare Advantage. So those five-star ratings are out there, and you should use those. And then the other thing that the Affordable Care Act does on quality, and this is important, is it tries to create more transparency, pushes for better ratings on everything from doctors and hospitals to nursing homes and things like dialysis centers. So there's all this data that's been available, all these quality scores and things like that, that have been going on in one form or another for a long time. But to a certain degree, it's been a black box and a little bit hard to get to. So they're doing a lot of things to make those quality ratings available and accessible to people. When I talk about empowering the consumer, I'll dig into that a little bit more. But just give you an example of how this could benefit you. We know from doing a survey we did an opinion research survey where we called, like 1,100 people of all ages. And one of the questions we asked them is, how much more would you be willing to pay for an insurance plan every month to keep your doctor? And what we found was that people love their doctor, we know that. And either way you slice it, it was, I think with when you went all age groups, it was around 60% that would be willing to switch their doctor if they could save $100 a month. So it's about 40% that they'd say, I need to save over $100 a month to switch my insurance plan and lose my doctor. But if you went to the 65-plus age group, half the people said they wouldn't switch their plan even if they could save over $100 a month. So they're that committed to their doctor, and I think that's great. That's really what we have insurance for, is to see our doctor. But, just to flip that on its head, if you like the person but you don't know if they're actually a good physician, I didn't go to medical school and most people didn't. So just because you have a good rapport, then may not mean that they're the best. So just having access to some way to measure and look at the quality of that provider in any scenario, whether it's a nursing home or a doctor or whatever, can help you make an informed decision about where you spend your money. Because particularly as you get older, if you're on a fixed income, $100 a month, that's $1,200 a year. That's money you could use for other things. So that kind of transparency and quality ratings, I think are good things that just give consumers more choices and more knowledge, and, you know, knowledge is power. So
that's good. So basically then we have part of this change is that there's going to be a lot more transparency, you said, in terms of these, all these ratings are going to be, they're going to be more available. And I guess the question is, how are they going to be made available to the consumer where they're not available now?
Well, I think that's where you're going to, we're skipping ahead a little bit here, but I think that's okay. So this is really in the empowering the consumer part.
All right, well, let's do this, Nate. Let's do this, Nate. Let's take another quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll get into, we'll do these things in order. We'll do talk about the outcomes, and we'll get into the consumer empowerment. So, Nate Purpura, Medicare Consumer Specialist, PlanPrescriber.com, and eHealthInsurance.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back. Nate Purpura is our guest, Medicare Consumer Specialist with, and you've got two different websites here, planprescriber.com and eHealthInsurance.com. And so you're with eHealth, the company's name is eHealth Company or eHealth Insurance Company?
It's eHealth Inc. is actually the
okay.
company.
And so Nate works for them, and he's helping us understand these things about the Affordable Care Act. We talked before the break about one of the new things is the ability to have much greater transparency and being able to assess quality of healthcare providers. The next item is measuring outcomes better, and that kind of goes right along with the first one. How is that accomplished, the better measuring or paying for outcomes, I guess, really is how they're going to do it, right?
Yeah, so the way the system is set up right now with Medicare is that it's all sort of fee-for-service. So every time a doctor does a test or an exam or something like that, they get paid for that, or hospital, any kind of provider, it's fee-for-service. And so that doesn't discontinue, but what the program shifts to more so over time is looking at quality outcomes, and providers at every level, whether it's an private insurance company providing Medicare Advantage plans, or a physician or a nursing home or whatever that's compensated by Medicare, they get bonus payments and get paid more if they provide quality outcomes. So
Isn't this as simple as just incenting the performance you want to accomplish? I mean, as opposed to continuing to run tests and do other things just to be able to bill Medicare. I mean, it's really, okay, you get the person well, you get paid.
It's exactly right. And so there are a number of ways that it tries to do that. One of the big shifts, or one of the big efforts on that front, is the creation of what they're calling accountable care organizations, or ACOs. This is a voluntary program that hospitals and doctors can join into. They have to agree to see a certain percentage or a certain number of Medicare patients. And then it puts the primary care physician more in control. It centralizes care under your family doctor and sort of gives him control to route you through the system. And then integrates things like electronic medical records. So everybody can kind of look at the same information and share the same information. The best example I can give you of how this would work would be an experience I went through just this year where I was playing touch football with some guys and got tackled and was limping around for like a week later. So and it wasn't going away. So I finally went to the doctor. They said, well, let's take an X-ray. We don't have an X-ray facility here, so I had to go somewhere else to get an X-ray. They looked at that, said, well, you should see a specialist. The specialist said you need an MRI.
Right.
I went to, like, five different places, got X-rays, two different MRIs, because one doctor didn't like the first MRI. And it was, like, a 3 or 4 week process before they told me that there wasn't really much that they could do for me. So
except bill you and bill your insurance company.
Right, and, you know, I don't think there was any malice there. I just think it's an old, we've got sort of an antiquated system that has not caught up with the power of technology. Now with, you know, websites and the internet and, you know, cameras on your phone, there are a number of things that you can do and you can centralize in the data hub where you know, you get three or four shots of the MRI, and every doctor can go look at it before they ever bring you in for a meeting. The goal here is to centralize a lot of this data, give the primary care physician more power to order things and things like that, and direct you to resources as necessary, and cut down on a lot of that waste. I mean, I just think about the time I spent driving from place to place and not doing my job that was really wasted there. So that's another big, so you combine that with paying for quality outcomes and then trying to create a smarter, more efficient system are two of the ways that they're really trying to reward quality performance and make it easier for doctors and providers to do that. Because again, I don't think it's anybody's intention to send me to five different places, but there's no way for these groups to really talk to each other because they're not interconnected that way. So that's another good thing. I think anybody who believes in efficiency and better systems would really embrace that accountable care organization idea.
That makes sense to me. I mean, I think we definitely need, number one, the better transparency, which is, of course, the whole measuring the quality, and then being able to get the better outcomes for actually paying for the outcome we want, which is for improved health. And we got to hit the final big one, which is, you know, empowering the consumer. Before we do that, we'll take a short break. Nate Papura is our guest, Medicare consumer specialist with eHealth Company, and the website is planprescriber.com and ehealthinsurance.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
We're back, and to empower us with a better understanding of what this Affordable Care Act is all about, that's the next thing we need to talk about. Nate Papura, Medicare Consumer Specialist, PlanPrescriber.com, and eHealthInsurance.com. So, Nate, empower us with this consumer component of the Affordable Care Act.
Okay, so this is my favorite part.
Because I bet it was.
This is the part that probably has been lacking the most in healthcare. The way that the Affordable Care Act is trying to empower the consumers, I talked about like websites like Hospital Compare and these websites that the government has created that have all this great data about which is the best hospital, which is the best doctor, which is the best nursing home, but nobody really goes to them. And there's not a lot of usage of these things. And so what the government is doing is it's starting to make all this information available and empowering companies in the private sector to take it and find ways to use it. So, you know, like I said, with Plan Prescriber, where we take these public government files that they make available, we put them on the website, and we've tried to create a way that's simple for people to compare plans side by side. You may like our system, and you may not. You can go on the internet and check it out, and if you don't like it, you can go somewhere else. But it's giving people the opportunity to play with it and tweak with it. So maybe you can create an iPhone app or something like that. So there's going to be all these tools out there that potentially make it much, much easier for you to find the best doctor, find the best hospital, find the best price on a service that you need. I go back to the knee example I used before. You know, the one thing I didn't do that entire time when I had to get a couple different MRIs and x-rays is I never asked anybody what it costs.
That's very good, Nate.
I never picked up the phone and said, hey, how much is it going to cost me to get this MRI? Now, we have a flex spending account, so I was able to use my flex spending account card.
Oh, that's real money, though. That costs you money.
That's real money, right? I mean, it comes out of my paycheck. So, you know, had I really been a better consumer of healthcare, I would have called around and said, what's the best price? And I know from talking to other people that a lot of times you can't actually get that because they've negotiated rates with the insurance company, and so there's not even somebody on the phone who really knows, right? It's all done on a back-end deal. Well, if I had an app on my phone, for example, and I opened it up and I said, MRI, I had MRI, and I pushed that in, and it showed me on a map 10 places in my area where I could get an MRI, what it would cost, and which one had the best quality rating, that would make me a far better consumer of healthcare.
Is that going to come about? Is that something that we've got to invent in the private sector? Is that going to be part of what the government puts in place?
And that's something that the private sector is going to build.
And they'll build it because of the data being available because of the Affordable Care Act.
And the government may build one too, but you go into the App Store and you do a search, and there's 10 or sometimes 15 different apps for different things. I don't have an Android, but I hear they're great. The Android has an App Store too, so and there will be websites. And I envision that entrepreneurs everywhere who know how to use these things will find ways to put them to work and give you the tools to try and find those things. So I would just really encourage people to be excited about that, because that's a really good idea, is to make people shoppers. That's one thing we love in America. It's Christmas time. We love to go out and shop. I know I'm online on eBay and Amazon all the time trying to find toys for my kids at the best price, because some of these, what you pay for a plastic Octonaut these days is mind-boggling.
Well, I think your point's well taken, Nate, because how often has everybody listening just kind of were waiting to find out what it costs, and they don't tell you until it's at the very end, or you don't even know, and it's like, wait a minute, and how about we talk about that? Maybe I don't want to spend that much. It's just a whole bunch of systems that are built that hopefully the Affordable Care Act, whether we like the overarching nature of it or not, some of these aspects that hopefully will make it a good thing in many respects.
Yeah,
we'll hope for that.
And I think I don't think there's ever been a perfect piece of legislation. So there may be things in this law that don't work, but if you focus on the things that I think most people would agree are good, and you as a consumer take the power to do the things that you can do, you make the good parts work, and then we have a democracy, and you can fix the things that don't work. And so I just don't get caught up in this is the worst thing ever, because there's some great parts. Even if you hate the Obamacare, there are some great things in here that a conservative person should really, really be excited about.
All right, Nate. Well, thank you for coming on the program. Nate Papura, Medicare Consumer Specialist, PlanPrescriber.com, eHealthInsurance.com. Nate, we'll have you back for another subject.
Great, David. Thank you so much. Good to talk to you again.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at RealMoneyRadio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.